Hi, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and welcome back. I hope y'all liked the recap episode from yesterday. I felt a little off, but I'm hearing great things, so I'm glad that I can give you some lols. Couple quick things before we get into the episode. If you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter. Also, if you want access to bonus content, head on over to patreon.com/notaspirational. And this is an amazing month to join the Patreon because all the proceeds from this month of the Patreon are going towards Black Lives Matter. So head on over to patreon.com/notaspirational, and just $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes. But whatever you contribute will be donated to Black Lives Matter. Also, before we get into the episode, I want to recommend a couple TV shows and podcasts from a Black perspective. First of all, I want to shout out Just the Sip, hosted by Justin Sylvester, aka The Lady Sitter. He's so funny. He has great takes on pop culture, and he also has like really important, meaningful conversations while talking about pop culture. So it's truly like a podcast that's right up my alley. He's amazing. If you don't know who Justin Sylvester is, he's also on E! He does Daily Pop. He does What the Fashion sometimes. He started as Kyle Richards' nanny and now has, you know, become one of the best voices on E! And he has this amazing podcast. So check that out. Also, Black AF is on Netflix. It's a Kenya Barris show, and he's behind Blackish, Grownish, Mixedish. He also wrote on Girls Trip. So he's really fucking funny. And I love Black AF because it's like a sitcom, but also there's tons of information in it. And so it's really educational for me as a white person. Like, I didn't know what Juneteenth was until I watched Black AF, which is embarrassing, but it is what it is. So check that out. And then finally, because the finale on Sunday wrecked me, I have to tell y'all, if you're not watching Insecure, please get into it. You have four, I'm jealous of you. You have four amazing seasons to binge. It's such a fucking good show. Things I love about it. I can't think of another show where I literally love every single character and root for every single character the way I do on Insecure, regardless of like how much screen time any person has. I root for everybody. And I love it because it's relatable until it's not, in that like I can relate to it to some extent, like because I'm a woman, but it's also told through Issa's perspective. So it's the story of a Black woman, and there are parts of that that I will never understand. So I'm entertained and I'm also learning at the same time. And that's, you know, that's rad. That's what we want. So check those out. Today's guest is my friend Brandon Little, and I'm obsessed with him. We became friends at a serving job in Chicago, and about 6 years later, we are still close as ever. He's just one of those people who's truly magnetic and brings humor and positivity and just like light everywhere he goes. He's a large reason why I got through our serving job together, because I was Les Mis that entire time. But we had this great conversation about everything. We talked about how much we need Real Housewives of Potomac to come back. We talked about Brandon's brush with Oprah. We talked about Black Lives Matter. Brandon made a strong case for Popeye being hot. I mean, it was incredible. I know y'all are going to love it. Without further ado, here's my conversation with my friend, Brandon Little. All right. I'm here with my friend, Brandon Little. Brandon, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Miss Brown.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you on the pod. First, before we get into, you know, the questions,
yes.
You're new friends with Oprah, and I'm going to need you to reveal to my listeners how you had a conversation with Oprah this past weekend.
Okay. First of all, it was probably the scariest yet most exciting moment of my whole life. Okay, long story short, my friend who works for Weight Watchers got me a spot on Oprah's weekly virtual wellness experience. So pretty much she's in a Zoom meeting with 300 people. And, you know, they just talk about wellness and goals and healthy fitness goals and things like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're in the middle of the meeting and she asks a question. And she says, Brandon Little. And I was mortified, okay? Because I was like, I did the call with my friend, and I told her before we started that if Oprah calls on me, I will be a blubbering idiot. Okay. I will not know how to talk. I will not know how to be a person. Okay.
I wouldn't either.
So she calls on me and I'm like, oh, hello. Hello, Oprah. And she goes, tell me one commitment that you're making to yourself during this quarantine. Okay. And, she gave us worksheets to prepare for the meeting. And, so I had an answer, and my answer was simply to start walking 30 minutes every day.
Love.
And she was like, oh, that's a good start. Start slow. And, I was like, yeah, because I've gained so much during this quarantine, you know, I need to start getting out and getting active. And she was like, oh, so you gained the COVID 15 or 20, huh? And I was like, no, I gained the COVID 30. And she laughed. And I was like, oh my God, I'm making Oprah laugh.
You made Oprah laugh.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I made Oprah laugh. Okay. So then she goes, 30? So you've been eating biscuits, huh? And I was like, I've been eating the biscuits and the gravy, Oprah. So then she started laughing some more. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally making Oprah laugh. I can die now and be happy.
This okay? is it.
So then she asked me, what's another commitment that you're making to yourself? And I'm like, okay, so she's really trying to get a serious answer out of me, mm-hmm. you know, something more substantial. And my response to her was a swift, no, nothing. I have nothing else. Please stop talking to me. I have nothing else to give you, Oprah. Please leave me alone.
You're like, I'm done.
I'm done.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think walking for 30 minutes a day is substantial. Like, no shade to Oprah, but like, that's substantial to me.
Right. I mean, it's better than nothing. Okay.
Yeah. And how many times can I listen to Rain on Me in a 30 minute period? Exactly. That's, you know, maybe 10 times.
Oh yeah. And that's pretty much all I'm jamming to right now.
And that's it. Every time I like cry to Rain on Me on my walks.
It's so good.
I weep. And I just imagine myself in a little Ariana Grande app being like, yeah, no. Oh,
listen. When I'm driving my car, I have all my windows down and I have my sunroof open and I am blasting it. And yes. I just want to like leave a trail of glitter and unicorns behind me.
Okay? Oh, isn't that the truth? So how do you feel? Like, do you split up your life now? Like B-O as in before Oprah and then A-O after Oprah? Like, is that how you think of your life now?
I mean, literally, my life could be over now and I would be okay with it.
You're like, I'm good. You made Oprah laugh. You bonded over biscuits.
I made Oprah laugh and we were talking about biscuits and gravy. I mean, does it get better than that?
It really doesn't. Speaking of which, that reminds me of our old serving job where I would just snatch biscuits off a tray. Snatch biscuits off a tray in the middle of a shift, not think twice, shove it in my face.
Homemade biscuits and that homemade, what, jam?
Whatever. Oh, the rhubarb jam, the springtime jam with the goat cheese.
Okay. No lie. That stuff was good though.
It was
amazing. That jam was the bomb. Yeah.
It was delicious. I mean, I had my issues with that job, but not the biscuits.
Not the biscuits.
Not at all, nor the monkey bread.
It's like, okay, I can deal with all these screaming children, but this biscuit that I'm eating alone in the mop closet is making my day. You're like wiping biscuit crumbs off your apron in your mouth.
Shoving bacon in your apron.
No lie. I mean, I've done that. You wrap the bacon in paper towels mm-hmm. so it doesn't get on your pens or your paper.
Yep.
Just pocket bacon.
Apron bacon.
Apron bacon.
Apron yeah. bacon. Those were the times.
You remember I used to have the gummy bears in my apron?
Yes! You were full of Kelly Kalore and Ben Simone. You'd be like, you want a gummy bear?
Pocket gummies.
Oh, they were always a little bit like warm and soft.
And that is the perfect temperature. Yes. Okay.
That's why I never understood people who put gummy bears in their frozen yogurt because then they freeze immediately and then you can barely chew them.
You can barely chew them. They're pretty much ice cubes. I know.
And,
I
don't. Yeah. And if you're Sonia Morgan, you could like lose a tooth to a gummy bear, a frozen gummy bear. If you're not careful, your crown could come right out.
Sonia Morgan. Oh my God. So are you caught? You're caught up on New York, right?
Oh yes. Okay. How are you feeling about this season?
I am actually loving it. I mean, Leah is literally making the season fire.
She's bad chick crazy. She's like, I'm dating a guy.
I know. If it wasn't for her, this season would be like terrible.
There's just only so many times I can see Dorinda being like, the skeletons are your backs. Wait, what were you going to say though? If it wasn't for Leah, what?
I know. No, I was saying like, if it wasn't for her, like literally this season would be a drag. I'm like so-so about Tinsley leaving.
I'm like, sad.
I mean, I'm sad about it, but I'm also like, I don't know. She was just getting just ripped to shreds this season by Dorinda.
It was redundant.
It was redundant and it was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Honestly. So I'm like happy that she's like going off to Chicago. Hopefully she will start a Chicago Real Housewives franchise.
Wouldn't that be the dream though?
That's what I'm hoping.
What's going on with like Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
I know. Hannah, I literally look that up every week because I need.
Where is it?
I need this.
But I need Potomac.
When is that supposed to start? That was
they never told us, Brandon.
Well, they said coming this summer. And I'm like, okay bitch.
We're halfway through June. I need it and I need it now. I also really need Karen Huger to have a podcast.
I would love nothing more in this world than to listen to a Karen Huger podcast every week.
I want Karen Huger and her friend Matt / assistant.
Fucking Matt, who just pops up like a mole every now and then. Like, where does he come from? And why is he such a big part of her life? He's like such an odd addition to her life. It's so weird.
He always just sits around like looking like confused or shocked.
Yeah.
Like at the quote press conference where there was no press and no one was allowed to speak. And Giselle's like, who's the white guy? And she's like, that's my assistant, Matt.
And they were like, how long have you known this guy? And she's like, 10 years. And they're like, we've never seen him once in life.
I bet Matt, like, if you party with him, like, I bet he spills all the tea about RHOP.
Oh, I bet he has all the tea. And that's maybe why Karen keeps him around. Okay? She's like, I got to keep my enemies close.
I love Karen. Who would you say, like, are your favorite housewives, let's say, out of New York and out of Potomac right now?
Out of New York, definitely Hurricane Leah. Mm-hmm. She is like a godsend to mm-hmm. my life. Mm-hmm. Just the way that she just gets so white girl wasted and is like still a functioning human being, you know? Yeah. I'm like, is that me? Am I Leah?
You know, you're never aggressive when you're drunk the way Leah is.
This is true.
You're like a lover.
I am a lover. But yes, Leah would be for New York for sure. And then Potomac, I would say, I mean, I'm a big fan of Robin because I feel like I'm the Robin of Potomac.
I love Robin.
Yeah.
She's like her.
Yes, we need her. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She doesn't get too ratchet unless, you know, somebody takes her there. Mm-hmm. And you know me, like, I don't get ratchet unless somebody takes me there. But that's rarely ever happened. Mm-hmm. I just ignore the fuck out of people. They're invisible to me.
You know, going back to our old serving job, there was someone who worked there that Brandon did not like. And you would not give her the time of day.
I mean, I think that job gave me the skill to be the person that can ignore literally anybody. Because
yes.
I learned how to ignore this person so well at that job. I give myself a pat on the back for working with this person for so long and never saying a word to her.
Well, and now as a flight attendant, I feel like that's like a huge part of your job is just ignoring people who are like overtly annoying or like shitty to you.
Well, the thing with my job now is that I have the authority to not really put people in their place, but to like assert my authority on people, you know, and yes. I really didn't have that, you know, ability in, you know, our old job. But when you're on the airplane, I am the boss.
Yes.
And so you either either do what I say or you have to, or you can get on the next flight to Kentucky. Okay. Because mm-hmm. you're not going to Kentucky today with that.
Cut you.
Okay. Okay. Cut you.
Those are great favorites, by the way. Bringing it back, I feel like Robin is so underrated. I think we need her on Potomac, and I love what she brings to the table because we need someone to, like, I love how her and Giselle are so close because we need someone to, like, level out Giselle.
Yes.
And then they can be shady together. Yeah.
Right. The green-eyed, what do they call them? The green-eyed,
green-eyed bandits. And then, but the way they express their levels of shadiness, like, even though they're on the same page, the way they express it is so different that it's a really fun dynamic to watch as a viewer.
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, can I just say,
yes,
I am so excited about the Ashley Michael Darby gay rumor, whatever is going on again for another season.
It's like the third or fourth season in a row.
I know. I think he had these rumors
every season. It's like Grindr. Then it's like you're touching a guy's butt on the crew. Like,
it really was two seasons in a row. He was touching men's butts.
He's the messiest, messiest person on that entire show. And he's not even a housewife.
I know. I'm like, what is going on?
And Ashley's always just like, nope, nope, it's not true. Mm-mm, not talking about it.
Yep.
And I'm like,
she's going to have to talk about this season. I really think they're going to get a divorce. And that's part of the season.
It has to be. I mean, also, it really pissed me off last season when she's like, nothing happened, but none of you guys checked on me. And they're like, well, nothing happened, so why would we check on you?
Exactly. Exactly.
She was like, well, and she gets so worked up. She's so like.
I know. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with that.
I can't wait either. Jake told me that I have a similar energy to Candace on Potomac. And, you know, I.
Hannah, I can 100% see it, okay? Not in a bad way.
Candace!
No. Not in a bad way, okay? She's just very, I think you're very particular in the way you like things.
Yes.
Okay? And so is she. And that's not a bad thing.
Listen, if you're a bitch to me at my dinner party in my house, I might pull a butter knife on you.
100%, and you have all the right to, okay?
I couldn't believe when Ashley left the party and then came right back in. I was like, go!
Please just leave.
You're at her house!
I know. She told you to leave, and you're not going to leave?
Yeah, and then Chris had to, like, physically restrain her.
Yeah, I just never understand. Why do these housewives want to be places where they know they're not welcomed? I mean, do they not get their Bravo check if they don't stay the whole hour and a half?
Yeah, that's true. Because, like, I understand why they all had to be at the dinner party to begin with. But at that point, you know, if Candace pulled a butter knife on me and was like, get the fuck out of my house, I'd be like, okay, I'm leaving. Like, I would not come back. Yeah, bye.
Chair spinning. I'm out.
Chair spinning. A little bit of, like, dust kicked up behind me, like, pew!
You don't got to ask me twice, okay?
Mm-mm. I want to get into you.
Okay.
Okay, let's begin simply. Where did you grow up, Brandon?
I grew up in Durham, North Carolina.
What was that like?
Have you ever been to North Carolina?
No, I actually haven't.
North Carolina is a very... I absolutely love North Carolina. So I grew up in the central part, which they call the Piedmont, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's where sort of the bigger cities are, like Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right in the middle of the state. So you have easy access to the beaches, which are about 3 hours away, mm-hmm. and the mountains, which are west, which are about 3 hours away. So you're like right in the middle of everything. But yeah, I loved growing up there. I don't want to move back there anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But it's great to go back to visit.
I always, when I picture North Carolina, I think of like a Nicholas Sparks movie.
100%.
Like I think of like Dawson's Creek, like Little Rowboat.
Yes. There's lots of those. I mean, I grew up in Durham, so it was a bigger city. So I didn't really have, you know, a lot of the wide open spaces that you would sort of think about growing up in North Carolina. I do have family that are very country, and at family gatherings, if a squirrel was offered up as an entree, that was there. Okay.
Like, was it like hunting down the squirrel and like preparing it?
It was like, I was so young. I am not sure how they trapped it or caught it, but I'm sure they just set traps because I can't imagine anybody going out hunting for a squirrel.
No, that'd be really hard.
Yeah, and weird. I just don't know.
Who's to say?
But yeah, I've had squirrel.
What was junior high like for you?
I think I was pretty popular, if you know, honestly.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have any negative experiences from my middle school or high school years. I had tons of friends. I was like on prom court. I was on homecoming court, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any sports or did you primarily do theater?
I did sports up until high school. So like in middle school, I did sports. Mm-hmm. But
what did you play?
I played basketball and I ran track.
Oh my gosh.
But I quit because I'm the least competitive person you've ever met in your whole life. Mm-hmm. And like, I just remember the coaches yelling at me like, come on, Brandon, put forth some more effort. And I was like, literally yelling at me is not going to get me to do anything faster.
No, that's going to make you like walk off of the track and be like, I'm done.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was like, yeah, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah. And then did you do theater in high school?
I did. Yeah. So I tried out for my first play ever in ninth grade. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because my friend, she was like, Brandon, you need to try out for this play. You'd be so good. You're so funny, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm never going to be a theater person. You know?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't very cool in high school.
It wasn't cool.
Yeah. Okay?
But she kept badgering me about it. And so we both auditioned and I got cast and she did.
Oh! Did that put a damper on your friendship or was she happy for you?
No. We stayed really good friends throughout then. And I always told her that, you know, if I ever won an award for acting or whatever, that I would thank her.
Oh.
She was the person. Yeah, that got me into it.
I love that so much. Do you remember, like, did you have a favorite role that you played in high school?
Do you remember the musical Sugar?
No.
So it was like, do you know the movie Some Like It Hot?
Yes.
Okay, it's the musical version of that.
Oh, that's so fun.
So I played Beanstalk, which is like the band's manager.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And I just remember that role. It wasn't a huge role, but it wasn't like a super small role, but mm-hmm. it was like a really fun, quirky musical. And I have a lot of good memories from that.
That's so fun. And then did you do theater in college too?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Do you have a favorite like all-time role that you played?
So in college, we did a lot of pieces where we ensemble developed pieces.
Oh, I love that stuff, like devised theater.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And so one of them was called Sincerely. Mm-hmm. And it was a play about just bringing letters that people had written to specific loved ones, or letters that had really a lot of meaning to certain people. Mm-hmm. So it was just about bringing these letters to life. Okay.
Love that.
And so it was such a cool, cool experience to build that show together. Cause I think there was like maybe 14 of us. Mm-hmm. And the show got so much, such a big following in school. We actually sent it out to hopefully get picked up by a theater festival in Chicago.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it did. So we took the show from Clemson, South Carolina, and brought it to Chicago, which was my favorite place at the time because I was in a theater in an improv troupe in college. Mm-hmm. And so every spring break, we would come up to Chicago and take improv classes and stuff. So
Aww.
It was really, really fun to bring my theater people to Chicago. And I felt like I was like the cool guy who knew Chicago because I
had come
times. But yeah, so we performed it in Chicago in 2005, five or six, I think.
That's amazing.
And yeah, that's when I knew that I was moving to Chicago. I was like, I have got to, you know, make this my life here.
I was going to say, like, that's such a cool full circle moment that you always knew you like felt some sort of like rooting in yes. Chicago, and then you ended up there. That's amazing. And you still live yep. there now.
I do. I can't believe it's been so many years.
Do you think you're going to stay in Chicago, like you and Landon, yes. your husband?
Yes. Yeah, I think we will stay. We just love this place so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got so many deep roots here now. Mm-hmm. But I think we want to get a summer home at some point.
Where?
I think Saugatuck, Michigan.
That's chic.
It's very chic.
I've never been to Saugatuck, but I want to go.
Yeah, it's like the province town of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. It's like a super gay-friendly little boutique-y town on the lake. And it's so fun. We go there every July 4th for like a week, and we're like, why don't we just like get a place out there?
Yeah, so,
it won't happen no time soon, but it's a goal for us.
Oh my gosh, I love that goal. I always talk to Jake about how I want to have like a summer home in Wisconsin.
Yes. And
yeah, I was like, because I thrive in a lakeside town too. Like, I think it's just so peaceful and like low key and fun. And I was like, yeah, I mean, if we got a house in Wisconsin, then my family could like drive up and like use it when we're not in town. And he's like, okay, but why do we have to fly out for our lake house? Like, I was like, yeah, but my family and my friends could use it too. And he's like, okay, but we would have to literally like fly and drive to get to our lake house.
Well, that's good. You know, you always put family first. So, you know.
Like, if I'm rich enough to get like a second home, I don't want to be the only person using it. Exactly. I want my family and friends to be able to use it.
Exactly. Oh my God. Yeah. That's so funny. Why did we have to fly?
He was like, we could get it in Big Bear. I'm like, Midwest is best. Sorry. What was your first job?
My first job was I worked for the Durham Bulls, which is a minor league team, a minor league baseball team.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah. So, and I was like 15, I think. And I was the parking attendant.
Oh. Okay.
So I would stand out in front of this parking lot. Okay. So, and if you didn't have, it was like the VIP lot. Okay. So I would literally stand there and people would pull up, try to park there. If they didn't have the VIP tag, they couldn't get in. But I quickly learned that people will bribe you to park in these spots. Okay.
Oh.
So I would, if people rolled up and they threw out a $20 bill, you could park in the VIP lot. Okay.
Hey, you have to make your money.
And I was like 15 and like, you know, my moral compass was like, I just want money. So whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, there's so many extra spots here. Like, whatever, you know, I didn't care. But you know, my boss found out. And so I got fired.
Yeah, you got fired.
So it was a cute little summer job for like 2 months.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I bet for those 2 months from all the bribery, you were like rolling in the dough.
I was rolling in the dough. And it was also a cool job because I also like when I wasn't doing the parking attendant thing, I was also a ball boy.
Oh. So
I got to sit on the field on the first base line and I would just like grab all the foul balls, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's fun.
At that age. And like, I remember the team, they used to like mess with me. They would like, because the first base line where I sat during the game was by the pitchers. I don't know anything about sports anymore. It's where the pitchers warm up, which is like far back on the first base line. Like,
you know, I don't know either. Okay. So.
So anyway, like my seat was like right in front of them. And so I'd be sitting like really into the game, really into my job. Like there's no foul ball that's going to get past me. Okay. And so I wouldn't even really be paying attention to them behind me, but they would like randomly like put wads of gum on my helmet. But like the helmet was so big, like I wouldn't feel anything, obviously. So then like, you know, I'd get my foul ball and the inning would be over and I'd go to the dugout and like all the other baseball players would be laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? And then they showed me and I took the helmet off and would see all the gum wads that were on my head.
Were you mad? I'd be so mad.
No, I wasn't mad. I thought it was pretty funny.
You were a good sport. Wait, so I know from working with you too that like you love telling people no.
Love it.
Like, I remember at our serving job when people would be like, I want a monkey bread. And they'd come in at like 2 p.m. and brunch started at 8 a.m. You'd have to be like, well, guess what? We're out and you're not getting one. Like, you relish in that. I would have such anxiety. I'd be like, they're going to hate me. Like, we're out of monkey bread.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been serving so long at that point. Like, my tolerance for people's bullshit. Non-existent. Okay.
I mean,
it was like, I didn't care. I'm like, either you get something else or you can leave. We don't have any more monkey bread. What do you want me to do? You want me to go back there and make it myself?
You know, they'd get so mad. They'd be like, but it's my birthday. And he'd be like, well, guess what, ma'am? If you wanted it that badly, you should have made a reservation and come at 10 a.m.
You should have planned ahead of time, Sandra. Okay.
Sandra. I know. My line was always like, well, the reason it's so delicious is because it's really fresh and we only make a certain amount every weekend. So when we're out, we're out.
That is so funny. I have never given that much of an explanation.
Oh my gosh. That was like, our manager was like, just tell them it's because it's so fresh. That's the truth. And I was like, I know, but they're still going to be mad.
Yeah.
But like, would you say that your days working for, you said the Bulls?
Yeah.
Do you think that's where you learned to say no? Or did you not learn how to say no to people until after that job?
Oh, it was way, way after that.
Because at that point, you're like, I'll park your car wherever. Just give me the 20 bucks.
Yeah. I was 15 at the time. You know, everything was a yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, you know, everything was a yes. I mean, in multiple aspects of my life until my 30s, honestly.
I'm 28 now.
Real.
I want to get real. Wait, so once you got to your 30s, you were just like, fuck everything. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, because like in college and like in my early 20s, like all I literally cared about was like everybody being my friend. Mm-hmm. Every single person, mm-hmm. you know? And so I said yes to everything. Okay. And it just gets exhausting.
Yes.
You feel like you're really building strong relationships with people because you're spreading yourself so thin, you know, and it's okay to not be best friends with everybody. You know, my core friends, like the amount of people that I have as like true friends has, you know, it's a very small amount of people now. Mm-hmm. And at one point, you know, it was just, I mean, I was calling everybody my best friend and it was just not authentic and real. You know?
Yes. That's exhausting. And I feel like you're someone who like, you're so fun to be around. And I feel like people just gravitate towards you, like wherever you go. So like, did you get to a point where you were like, okay, I understand everyone wants to be my friend. The fact is I don't have the space to be your friend. Like I'm not the problem here.
Yes. Yes. I definitely like got to that point. And you know, like, really thinking back on like my life and what's happened in my life, like I think me being gay and being in the closet until I was 23, okay, I really think that was why I was such like, I need to be friends with everybody, I need to do everything because I want to be liked by everybody, because I had this hidden thing inside that I didn't want people to sort of latch on to, and if they did find out, use it against me in a negative way.
Yeah.
So if everybody's my friend, you know, nobody's going to be mean to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that was sort of my, I don't think I was conscious about that, but like looking back on it, I really feel like that's, you know, that's why I was so always about saying yes to everything. Totally. And trying to be everybody's best friend.
And then do you feel like once you were out, did that automatically make you a little bit better at making boundaries, or did it even still take time? Yeah, because you were only 23 and you said you didn't really get to that point until your 30s.
Yeah, because then, like, now I'm out and there's this whole new slew of friends and people that I had had zero access to before. The gay world, mm-hmm. you know? I wanted all to be friends with all the gays. And so I was saying yes to the gays now, you know? And so it really wasn't until, you know, my late 20s, like early 30s, where it just, you know, it just got to be super tiring, you know?
Yeah.
But like meeting my husband when I think we met when I was 29. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I turned 30 a few months after we met. Mm-hmm. I think it was such a great time to meet him and to get sort of like ground myself. He really, really helped me like ground myself because I was just all over the place, you know? And so it couldn't have been a better time to meet him. Yeah,
I truly believe in that, as woo-woo as it sounds, that like the universe puts things in your path when you're supposed to encounter those things, people, jobs, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like my friendship with you and our mutual friend Joe was born out of like we were bored as fuck at our job.
Yes.
And we just went out every night to forget and distract ourselves. And like, I have nothing but the fondest memories of that time. But it wasn't healthy.
It wasn't healthy. But that's what we had to do to get through what we were dealing with on the daily basis.
Yeah.
And like, you two are like two of my best friends now, you know? So like, out of all that chaos that we had to deal with for, you know, for me, I was there for 3 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, my friendship with you two is like such a great thing that came out of that.
Yes. You know? Oh, it was 100% worth it. And I also think like, I'm sure you've found this too, as you know, you mature and you figure out which friendships you can take with you and which ones you want to leave behind. Like, I feel like there are so many friendships that are born out of serving jobs where like they revolve around partying and hating your job. And I've had a lot of serving job friends where like I leave the serving job and then the friendship is no longer there. And what I'm so proud of in my friendship with you and our friendship with Joe is that like we've all changed as people. Like we've all become much more grounded versions of ourselves, but that doesn't mean that the friendship is boring or that we have nothing to talk about. Like, we don't have to be blacked out to have a fun conversation or to, you know?
Right. And like, literally, like I, you know, our, you know, we were talking about this the other day, but our text message thread is just like one of my favorite things.
Me too. You know?
It's so funny that like, you know, I mean, we pretty much text every week, but you know, we can go days without like texting one another, but when it starts, it is like on and popping, okay? It's like a whole hour of just literally bing, 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 bing.
I know. There will be times where you're in the air and I'm like, poor Brandon's going to land and just have a million texts from me and Joe. And you're going to be like, whoa, like scrolling.
I know. I feel so bad sometimes, like when I don't respond, you know, because, you know, there's like 88 text messages that I have to read through. And I'm like, I don't even know what to respond to right now or where to even start, you know? Well,
Joe and I are also always at our phones. So we're like, ding, ding, ding. Like, we respond like as soon as we get a message. And you're like, I'm in the middle of something, guys. Like, I'll get back to you later.
I'm glad you guys understand that and don't hate me for it.
Oh, of course. But like, I mean, y'all, I'm going to say we went in on those Bravo firings and that text thread, it went there.
Yes, we did. I mean, I'm so glad that Bravo stepped up and did that, you know, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I feel like this, you know, there's always the tip of the iceberg when this stuff starts snowballing. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more coming.
I think so too. Well, did you hear about what Lance Bass said about Jax on his podcast?
What?
Yesterday, Lance Bass said on his podcast, like, Jax can't keep saying that he didn't know what he said was wrong, because he does know that the things he says are wrong, because he's been called out time and time and time again on being racist and homophobic. And like, they're no longer working on Just Add X together. And Lance Bass was like, I think a firing for Jax is coming and I think it's deserved, like pretty much something to that effect. And Jax has like deleted all traces of Lance from his social media. He's unfollowed Lance. Randall unfollowed Jax. Like, I hate how invested. Yes, I hate how invested I am, but like I can't help it. Like it's like watching like a burning pile of garbage.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So he's for sure gone next.
He's gotta be. I mean, also like I was shocked that Lance like had his back and Brittany's back so many times, because I was like, just because you're friends with Lisa doesn't mean you need to like co-sign these terrible people and their terrible behavior. Like,
I know, but you know, people have to figure out things on their own time. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You know, it's so glad that he finally is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that means he's probably going to be next.
And
the whole Faith thing, just like, good Lord, this just keeps coming and coming.
And apparently like Lala's trying to like bury the hatchet with Faith, like now of all times. And I'm like, well, that's some convenient timing, Miss Lauren from Utah.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't get it.
You had years.
And that's what is so annoying with these like apologies that come out. I'm like, you would have said absolutely nothing. You would have taken these things to your grave if you weren't called out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a blanket statement for all these apologies, for people saying things negatively that they've said in the past. And for these, you know, these videos that are coming out of people being assholes to people of color.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden now they're so sorry and didn't know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, yeah. Some of these videos were from years ago. And now you're sorry?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I think, like I've said this on my podcast before, I think if white people are doing what we should be doing right now, we're all like thinking in our heads of times where we're like, we fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, I was tone deaf. I was racist. I have to call myself out and deal with my white guilt on my fucking own. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the work. The issue is, I think with like Stassi and Kristen and Jax, they would never have gotten to that conclusion if it didn't affect their wallet. Like if the public didn't call them out first, like, it's not about who's the best white person in the room. Like every white person fucked up. Yeah. At some point, you know, it's not needing public people to dig up your shit and throw it in your face to be like, oh, that was bad, wasn't it? Like, we should fucking know. We should do the work to figure that out.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I'm like, okay, you know, social media has been a thing for a long time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the internet never forgets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The internet will bring all that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
So people just really need to start owning what they did, okay, and not waiting till it's get dug up by somebody else, because it really seems like, you know, it's people are trying to hide it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I saw a TikTok video that was like, it was like black people's phones right now, and it was just like a black guy sitting there and his phone just going off over and over and over. Has that happened to you since everything in the news has started?
You mean in terms of like people reaching out to me?
Yeah, either to check in or like apologize or all of the above.
Well, I've not gotten any apologies from anybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. Granted, I can't remember any instances of any of my white friends doing anything to my face, at least, that I thought was racially insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gotten any apologies, so, you know, I don't need them. But I have had a lot of people reach out just to check in with me, just to see how I was doing, which is really, really helpful. And I really appreciate, you know, you did that for me. So I, you know, it was nice to see that, because it's such a crazy time. Like, I honestly feel like we're back in the 60s. Like,
that's how I feel.
It's so, you know, I'm scared to walk out of my house. I'm scared to walk out of my house. It's just crazy to me, you know? And I'm so glad that this is a conversation that's being brought up again, and it's to the magnitude that it is, because things need to change, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to think about when I'm walking down the street, if I'm walking up behind a white woman and she doesn't know that I'm coming up behind her. I don't want to have to think about, am I going to startle her? And if I do, what is she going to do?
Right.
You know, I literally think about that. Mm-hmm. I've crossed the street to the other side, to another sidewalk, to avoid even the possibility of something happening.
Like being in a white person's space who might receive you the wrong way.
Right.
I mean, the last time you visited was what, January?
When did Joe come up? Whenever that was. Maybe that was.
Well, also, wait, hold on. Finish your thought. I don't want to cut you off.
No. That was it. Yeah.
But like the last time you visited, we were like out and drunk together. And mm-hmm. I've probably been friends with you now for what, like 6 years?
Yeah, probably.
A long time. Yeah. And we were drunk, and it was the first time where you were like, Hannah, I'm scared. And we've never had that conversation before in all the years of being friends about like what your life is like as a black man. And that was like a moment for me, like a turning moment for me, where I'm like, I've never thought about it because I just think of you as my friend. But it's like, I'm not happy about what's going on in the news. I think it's so fucked up and change needs to happen yesterday. But I am happy that these conversations are becoming normalized, because as a white woman, I can't continue to live my life like my experience is the same as yours just because we're friends, because that's just not the truth.
Yeah, I know. And I really appreciate like people like you, like stepping up and being so vocal about these issues, because, you know, I'm sure you have direct access to a lot more white people, you know, who don't think the way that you do, you know? And so they need to see this. They need to see and actually start thinking about the black experience in America. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we just have to hope that everything that's happening right now is going to incite some sort of change.
Always forward, never back. I truly have all the faith in the world. I'm happy that my fellow white people are, even though it's way too fucking late in the game, I'm happy that we're being vocal as white people now, because I think all together we can actually make the change happen.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Vote, y'all.
Vote, please. Are we allowed to get political? I mean,
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
My show. Here's the thing. None of this is, I don't even like consider it political.
You're right. Racial
and
issues
it shouldn't
are
be.
Not political. Yes.
Yes. Like a human being's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and all the bullshit that our country supposedly stands for. Like,
yeah,
we it's have to. Yeah.
It's crazy that it is, in some ways, it is political.
Yeah.
Know? We have to get that fucking orange Cheeto out of office.
Damn straight.
We have to get him out. And what's sad is that, you know, in 2016, we didn't think it could happen. And, you know, I don't want to get my hopes up for 2020.
I know.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I pray to everything holy that he will not be in office come November.
Mm-hmm.
No, but who knows? These people are coming out of the woodworks with all the shenanigans, you know, left and right. I'm like, where are these people coming from?
I know. I miss the days. Like, I took for granted the 8 years we had Barack Obama as our president, because I truly felt safe in a way that I have not since this last election.
Oh, I felt so safe. And yeah, it was. As soon as Trump got in office, I will never forget flying on a plane and just being nervous about flying to these small towns in America. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that all small towns are racist or whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know, these small towns are predominantly white people.
Yeah.
And so to be the only black person walking around these super small towns is not a comfortable thing.
No. Hey, we've all seen Get Out.
Okay.
It's scary.
Okay. So, you know, it's, I can't wait for the day, and it may not be in my lifetime, you know, but I can't wait for the day where, you know, people of color can walk around and not feel nervous for their life or even have to think about, oh, am I in a place where I'm going to be welcomed?
Yep.
You know, because George Floyd could have been me easily.
That's what people who question this need to consider, though. It's like the second, it's just basic human empathy.
Right.
You know?
And this whole all lives matter thing trending now as some sort of counter against Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. It's so insane to me mm-hmm. how that concept of all lives mattering, how do people not understand that all lives don't matter if Black lives
exactly.
don't?
Exactly.
It's such a simple concept to me, and I don't get why people are fighting against Black Lives Matters with the all lives matter.
Right.
I'm like, all lives matter. You should be fighting for Black lives.
Right. All includes Black lives. Yeah.
It includes it. So I don't get how it's such a foreign concept for people to understand. It really blows my mind. It really blows my mind. And the fact that people are, you know, getting violent against these, you know, protests, it really shows that all lives really don't matter. Okay, mm-hmm. because if you're using violence against these Black Lives Matter protests, you clearly don't care about all lives.
Right. All lives to me just basically means white lives matter. That's like the subtext of that argument to me.
I agree with you.
Because all is all encompassing. And then that, like you said, means black is included in all. So exactly. What's the argument here?
So what's the argument? I don't get it.
And this idea that white people are going to lose out on something if black people are actually treated like valued human beings in society is not a thing.
I know.
Like, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing. Can't yeah. we all just rise together?
I know. I'll rise with you today and every day.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
I love you so much.
Love you too, Banana.
I have a few more questions, and they are not deep. I gotta tell you.
Thank God. Let's lighten the mood.
Also, I hope I didn't make you go there.
No way.
Thank you for being vulnerable and speaking about that, because I am so lucky to be your friend, and I'm so lucky to be able to have these conversations with you as a person and as a white woman. And
thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
I'm like a friend too.
Oh, Kati. I want to ask, you were mentioning that you were in homecoming court, prom court. You were a man about town.
Yep, he was.
Do you have a favorite outfit that you wore to a school dance?
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and I literally can't think of one particular, like, special outfit, mm-hmm. but it made me remember that I used to iron my jeans.
Oh!
Okay? And this wasn't for special occasions. This was every goddamn day before I went to school.
So did you have like a little crease in the front?
In the front of the pant. On the leg. Okay? Hannah, a 13-year-old ironing his jeans. Okay?
Cutest thing I've ever heard.
Like, why did I do that? I literally don't remember.
So does your mom remember you being like, Mom, I'm using the ironing board now?
Yes. My mom was very happy. Like, she taught us at a very young age to take care of our goddamn selves. So I was doing my laundry. I was ironing my own clothes Amazing. At a very early age. And she didn't care because she didn't have to do it.
I was going to say, my mom always ironed my own clothes like for me. And I, as an adult, still suck at ironing. So, you know, I did not win in this scenario.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I'm the master at ironing. So I iron my husband's clothes too. Okay.
So when did the jean ironing stop?
Probably later in high school. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell you a specific point when it stopped, but it probably got taken over by another bad fashion choice.
Love.
I remember I used to be obsessed with Old Navy. Oh my gosh.
Me too.
Obsessed. And I had the Old Navy performance fleece in every color.
Wait, were those the vests?
They were the vests and the pullovers. Like
the performance fleece.
Yes. And I don't know if you remember the anorak, the Old Navy anorak. It's like a rain jacket that fits into a pocket. Like
you fold it into the pocket. Yeah. Yes. And didn't the performance fleeces and the anoraks come in like bright, fun colors, like a lime green, yellow, yeah. Pink?
Yes. Yes, they did. And I remember I would wear the anorak to school. Like, mm-hmm. Why am I wearing this fucking rain jacket every day?
Why not? Yeah. You're like, it's not raining, but I feel really cool right now.
So cool. And I would take it off in class because I'd get too hot, and then I would just package it up in the little pocket that it came in and put it in my book bag.
That is incredible though. I feel like 90s, early 2000s fashion was all about convenience. It was like, yes, it's a pair of cargo pants, but you can also unzip them and make them into shorts. And those were also sold at Old Navy.
Oh my God, I forgot about those.
And then the Merrill slip-on suede shoes.
Oh my gosh. It was all about the convenience. Right. And the multi-purpose.
It was a utilitarian moment in time.
It was. But why did we as kids need all this utility? You know what I mean? We're going to school. Why do we need 17 pockets on our pants?
When I was little, I had painter pants that had the little
the hook yes, for the hammer.
Yes, for a hammer or a paintbrush. And I was like, all I'm doing is going to first grade. What housework am I doing in these pants?
I know. I have no clue. Oh my gosh.
You know all that's going to come back now. It's going to be Chanel debuts a pair of painter pants, and then the Hadids are going to wear them, and I'm going to be like, what is going on?
It is 100%. And then another thing I remember wearing a lot was the were visors.
Oh! You guys can't see this, but I just did a little visor gesture.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I want some shade on my face, but my hair needs to be free.
It's true, though. I remember, as a girl with a ponytail, I was like, well, I don't want to have to put it through the hole in the hat, so I'll just Velcro it around my head.
I'm like, why was that a thing? I had 17 visors.
Do you still have any?
Oh, God, no. They're all gone. Thank God.
Again, I feel like Dorit, I've seen Dorit rock a visor. Maybe they're back.
Oh, God. It's just like the fanny packs are back.
Yes.
I'm so mad that I threw away my Ninja Turtle fanny pack.
Oh,
that would have been gold right now.
It really would have been. It's like vintage pop culture. Right. Again, utilitarian.
Yes.
No one's getting your money if it's right in front of you.
Nobody's getting the money. Okay.
I had a fanny pack that I got from Ragstock several summers ago, and I would wear it to sidetrack, and I'd be like, no one's robbing me not with my fanny pack, dancing in my neon pants and my crop top, thinking I was the shit.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yep. You can't rob the fanny pack unless you take the whole thing, and then I would know. And then I will know my money is gone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. I always think about when I went to Disney World as a kid, my mom had a giant fanny pack on that was just stuffed with every card, every pass, a pen, change.
She was ready for anything.
Cigarettes. Yeah. Okay. This question I feel like I every time I feel like I have to preface it by being like, it's controversial, but it's not. Which cartoon character would you fuck or make out with if you could?
So, okay, you're going to die, okay? Because I was like, okay, what cartoons have I watched in the last month? Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a toss up for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a toss up between Gambit from X-Men.
Okay.
Or Popeye.
Please explain further. I love these answers.
I know. So Gambit is just because I'm not sure if you're familiar with Gambit from X-Men, but he's
Googling.
He's from New Orleans, so he has like a New Orleans accent, and he's like super acrobatic, and his superpower is like lighting up these cards and like throwing them or whatever. And Channing Tatum was supposed to play him in the live action movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I just always thought he was like kind of mysterious and hot with his, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gambit can get it.
Gambit could get it. And then I don't know why, but Popeye just seems like he don't take no shit. You know, he got the forearms going. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a fisherman. He'll provide for his family.
I'm showing Brandon a picture of Popeye. He likes his spinach. Yeah, he is like
vegetables. I mean, yes. Come on.
I mean, those forearms and that he has a little bit of ink. He has that anchor tattoo.
He's got a little ink.
He's got a little pipe.
I know. He's from New England.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around.
He's got a little New England accent. I don't know what it is.
I feel like you could go on like a fun date night. You could get some oysters and like beers. Yeah,
that's right. You can get fucked up. You can get fucked up with Popeye.
You can get fucked up with Popeye. You can hear about like his many, you know, his many moons spent on the sea.
Yeah.
Sailing away. I love that.
I know it's strange, but yeah.
Those are great answers, Brandon. I'm very excited about them. Who would be your celeb bestie and why?
My answer has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Of course, originally it would be Beyonce. Okay.
Of course.
But I really thought about it and I'm like, no, I couldn't be friends with Beyonce because I would just be too nervous all the time. She's like too perfect. I just want to have an open moment with her. I want to talk to her for 2 minutes and then I never want to see her again.
Okay? I love that.
Mm-hmm. I cannot talk to you every day. But Dustin Milligan. He is from Schitt's Creek.
Oh.
He plays, what's his, it starts.
Don't worry, we're going to figure this out. I'm Googling him. Oh, wait a minute. Yes.
Yeah, he's Alexis.
Ted Mullins.
Ted, yes. Mm-hmm. So he was so good on Schitt's Creek, and then he was on a recent episode of RuPaul's Celebrity Drag Race, okay? And he was so into it, okay? And he was so vocal about how this is so good, more straight people need to do this. And I just feel like he's such an ally to, you know, the LGBTQ world.
Yes.
I was just so intrigued. I was like, you look like you are so much fun and just like so open to everything. And I was like, oh yeah, we could be friends for sure.
I love that. I have to say, you know that Sidetrack is like my favorite bar in the world.
Yeah.
And back when I was dating in Chicago, if I had like gone on a couple dates with a guy and I liked him, I would like bring him to Sidetrack because I was like, if you can't hang here, this isn't gonna work. Like, if you're gonna be all like straight and weird and like about it, like this isn't gonna work.
Yeah, I think that's such a good like. I think what you did was such a good barometer.
Because I'm like, this is my favorite bar, like objectively. And if you're weird around gay people, like then I don't want to date you. And also, like, if you can't handle being hazed by Dixieland Cartwright, then like.
Oh yes.
Then you're a wimp.
Literally. Every time I see her, Hannah, she mentions you. I mean, I haven't seen her in a while.
Really?
But like two or three times I've run into her and she just absolutely loves you.
Oh my gosh. She like was like my first big like get on my podcast. I was like, oh my, I was so nervous to ask her. I was like,
I remember.
I was like, I have a crush on her. I want to be her. I want to be with her. I love her.
I totally remember. Oh, but she, yeah, she loves you.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's a good celeb bestie. I love like an out of the box answer. And like, that's like, I need to watch Drag Race. I like don't have access to VH1 right now. It's not ideal.
I don't get why that show is so difficult to watch. Okay.
It's because
it bounces from so many networks. You're like, you can't keep up.
Yes. You know? And I think a handful of seasons are on Amazon Prime right now.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So I should probably rewatch this.
You can buy the current season for like $20 or something on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had to try so hard to watch a show in my life. I mean, I love it and I will always watch it and I will do whatever I need to do.
Yes.
But I mean, come on.
Yes. Yeah. I will do whatever it takes. I will. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I miss watching All Stars at the Chicago bars. Like,
yeah.
The community of Boys Town is just the most magical in the world.
It's so nice. It's so nice.
Wait, you weren't with us when Shangela got robbed in the All Stars 3 finale, were you? I think you were.
No, because if I was out in public, I would have started a riot.
Yes, yes. I was standing with Joe, and I remember like they eliminated her. Those jealous queens eliminated her.
I know.
And I looked at Joe, and I was like, ah! Like, I was so upset.
But here's the thing. Like, I was so upset too, but like, I guess, you know how every show has their thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Celebrity Drag Race is not just who's the best. Mm-hmm. It's also who are you friends with? And I think mm-hmm. that's just an aspect of the show, because it's an aspect of the show, the current season too, that's going on, that just started. It's already a part of the fabric of the season.
Yes.
Of who knows who, who's friends with who,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I think Shangela was just the tip of the iceberg with that.
Yes. There was a target on her back from the beginning because she was so fucking good that entire season. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone expected that from her. I think everyone expected her to be messy because historically she had been, and she just came in with the precision.
The precision, she's been amazing.
But I also don't think, I think like part of why she's my favorite queen of all time is because she has never taken no for an answer. She's never been permanently knocked down. She's like, all right, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to find something else out, like figure something else out.
She's a hustler.
She's a hustler. Yes. And she's just, she's persistent and mm-hmm. yeah. And now she's thriving.
I know. And she has that new show on HBO called We're Here.
Have you seen it?
Oh, I've watched every episode.
I purposely dropped off for a few weeks because I'm not ready for it to be done.
I know. It really pulls at your heartstrings every single episode. You have to be ready for a cry.
If you don't cry during We're Here, like, I'm worried about you.
Have you seen Dragnificent?
No, I don't even know what that
so
is.
It's another sort of We Are Here-esque show for drag queens make over somebody's life, essentially. And it's on TLC, and there's like 6 episodes. But it's Bebe Zahara,
mm-hmm.
the season 1 winner, Jujubee,
mm-hmm.
and a couple other queens. It's not as good as We're Here. It's a little bit more campy, whatever.
That's TLC.
Yeah. But it's still good, you know.
I have never forgotten BB's I'm pussy, bitch. Ooh, la, 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 la.
And literally, the Dragnificent is like an hour of her doing that, okay?
I need it.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I loved her verse in Kitty Girl, too.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Same.
It's one of my favorites.
Meow, meow, savage. Stepping out on a mission. Get fears. Stay ready. OG's back for another crown.
Yes.
Oh, so good. Do you have a revenge fantasy?
I wrote down, not sure what that means. What does that mean?
Okay. So this is like just, you know me, like I'm petty. And and a revenge fantasy, like to me, like keeps me going, which is like, it's something that like, if you're down in the dumps and you're just bummed out, you can think of this awesome thing that like would make all your haters and the people who have gotten in your way, like jealous basically. So like for me, like a revenge fantasy is like, you know, my junior high bully is just like, you know, on the couch enjoying like a bag of chips, and then her chip like falls out of her mouth because she like sees me on an E-red carpet being all cute.
Yes. And, you
know, something like that.
Okay. I have thought about this actually before you even brought it up to me. I guess I already had it in my head. I just didn't know what it was. You know, obviously I'm not a Stassi fan now. Okay. Mm-hmm. But her, I'll take a Pinot Grigio.
Oh,
that moment with the person who we were talking about from our old job.
Oh,
would give me everything. I don't know what I did to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio.
That's a good one.
It doesn't have to be her. Yeah, I would love to be in that position for anybody that has wronged me in the past.
Yes.
Just bring me a glass of wine, you peasant.
Okay. Yes. I think that's another thing too, is like, especially if you've been a server before, like the act of being waited on is such a gift, especially being waited on by someone that you don't fucking like who's been mean to you, talked down to you.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really good one. And it's so simple.
It's so simple. And Pinot Grigio is my favorite thing to drink. So
Brandon, I just got into Pinot Grigio. For the first time in my life. Historically, I was like a Sauvignon Blanc girl. Then I was a Chardonnay girl, which was like an aggressive pivot. And now I'm a Pinot Grigio woman.
Yes.
I just wait for 5 p.m. to roll around and then I bloop, 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 bloop.
Listen, it took all of me not to pour a glass for this right now.
Okay? I wouldn't have judged you.
There's a possibility that I have to work at some point. So.
Drat.
So I can't drink quite yet, but I wanted to so bad. But yeah, Pinot Grigio is our favorite thing to drink. I don't want to disclose how much wine I have drank during quarantine, but let's just say Benny's is like my favorite place to go.
Honestly, though, you know you're not alone.
Yeah, I know.
We've all been alcoholics this entire experience.
Yeah, I know. I know. But we found the deal at Benny's. Like the bottles that we like and the price that we like. Woo-wee. Yep. Buying in bulk.
There's a liquor store like right by my place, and it's like one of those tiny liquor stores where it's like $15 for a bottle of Pinot Grigio. And I'm like, this isn't sustainable. Not at the rate that I'm drinking.
No. See, that's why we get a case. Okay, and it's the Big Mama bottles. It's not regular size. Okay, it's the Big Mama bottles. You get a case of six, which, you know, one Big Mama bottle is two bottles. Okay, so you get six for $60.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a steal.
It's a steal. So every so often we go, we get two cases.
Every so often you're looking around like, huh? And then you look back at the screen and you see my chair spinning because I've run to Benny's to get my Pinot Grigio.
Hannah, come back. Come back.
Bye. I have a question. Do you have a hype up song? And if so, what is it?
Well, right now it's definitely Rain on Me. Okay? I listen to it in the shower, when I'm cleaning, when I'm driving around, on repeat.
I don't get sick of it.
I never get sick of it.
I can't get sick of it.
I know. But it's so funny. Like, I will play a song literally to death if I love it.
Same.
And it will go on for weeks. Okay? Mm-hmm. I hit on Spotify. Do not change this song. Keep playing it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All day long. I will do it. And it doesn't matter.
Every time I get in my car, like, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to switch it up. I don't. Just go back to Rain on Me because I'm like, let's be honest. I don't want to listen to anything else.
Exactly. It's like you just get in the car, you're sitting there and you're like, do I want to shuffle to find something or do I want to just go with something I know so I can get on with my life?
Yeah.
Rain on Me.
Rain on Me is the Pinot Grigio of songs. Like, you know, you're going to enjoy it every time.
Yes.
My last question for you is, what's something considered, quote, aspirational that you don't have yet but want?
I want. Do you know the Maldives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Maldives, those houses that sit out on the water by themselves. Hannah, I want to live like that. That's my goal in life, is to have a house out in the Maldives, away from riffraff, just drinking my Pinot Grigio. Okay? That's what we want.
That sounds heavenly. I want that for you. Yes, that's a good answer.
I just need there to be air conditioning. Like, that's the only thing I'm scared about. Because I feel like it's all like, those sort of setups are all sort of like open air. Mm-hmm. Like, you can feel the breeze come into the home, you know, the ocean breeze, which is nice. You know, but every now and then I'm going to need to close it on up, okay? Yep. And turn it down to 68. Okay.
Take it into a little ice box and just pull up your covers and watch some Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I want you to have like an influencer Maldives journey. Just like, hey guys, you're at my house on the ocean.
No,
cheers.
Oh, that's such a goal. I know. One day it'll happen.
One day when this pandemic decides that it's done.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be able to travel and find the Maldives, home of your dreams.
Oh, I just can't wait for this all to be over.
Me too. I just don't
know if it's ever going to be over. We might just have to learn. I mean, we are going to have to learn how to just live with it, I think. I don't think it's ever going to go away, Hannah. I know. Well, on that note.
Ever the optimist, Brandon Little, I tell you what. No, it's true. I mean, we are just going to have to adapt to a new normal, and it's annoying, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I look forward to a vaccine. I look forward to the day where we can be dancing to Rain on Me together at a bar. And thank you so much for doing this. Do you have any final thoughts to share with my listeners?
I do not. Just remember that Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, y'all.
Black Lives Matter.
Not up for debate.
Not up for debate. Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And where can my listeners find you, Brandon?
What?
Where can they find you, like on social media?
Oh, my Instagram handle is blittle312.
Give him a follow.
Yes, give me a follow. B as in boy, little head, small, 1, 2.
Thank you so much for being here, Brandon. I love you so much.
Oh, I love you too, Hannah. Thank you so much. Hope I didn't ruin this for you.
No, stop. You're amazing. You're a star, and I love you.
Oh, you're the sweetest.
And guys, thank you for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.